Rambam in Hilchos Tanios, the laws of fast days, discusses the different types of fast days that we have over the course of the year. So, for example, in the fifth chapter, Perakei Alecha Aleph, he says, Yesham Yamim Shekol Yisrael Mitanim Behem. There are these days that the entire Jewish people fast on. They had Saros She'iru Behem. Because of different calamities, bad things that happened to the Jews at a certain point in history. So on the anniversary of that day, we go ahead and we fast. What's the purpose of fasting on those days? Through fasting and afflicting ourselves, abstaining from eating and drink, we awaken ourselves to repent and to improve our ways. Because we remind ourselves of our evil ways at the time that that calamity happened, that we continue in those ways, and through the fasting we come and we start to repent. And the Rambam lists what those are. The third day of Tishrei, when Gedaliah was killed, and Asar B'Teves, and Shavasa B'Tamas, the Luchos were broken, etc. Tisha B'Av, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And then he says, in Halacha Hey, he says, and then there's a different day. That's today. Yud Gimel B'Adar. That's not because something bad that happened to Jewish people on the 13th of Adar. But rather, Zecher L'Tainis, She's Anu B'Mei Haman, Shenemar Divrei Atzimos V'Zakasam. The 13th of Adar is different than all other fast days. While all the other fast days are to remind us of something bad that happened to Jewish people because of our bad ways, our sins, and nowadays we're still continuing those ways, so we want to repent. The fast day today is something totally different. Back in the day, in the times of Haman, the Jewish people fasted. So too, today, we fast. But it's not because of something bad that happened to us. In fact, in the times of the Megillah, they fasted in the month of Nisan. So the question is, what's going on over here? What is the meaning of this fast? What is it? What's the goal? The goal is not to repent for our bad ways. So what's the goal of today's fast day? In addition, there's a halacha. Before every Shabbos, before every Yontif, a person isn't supposed to fast. They're not supposed to abstain from food, because then you go into Shabbos and you're starving, and for those few minutes until you get to the meal, you can't enjoy the Shabbos. You get into the Yontif and you're starving. You're not supposed to have such a feeling, and therefore you're not supposed to fast right before a Yontif. And in most of the world, okay, not us here in Yerushalayim, most of the world are celebrating Purim tonight. And if you have a fast day right now, that means going into Purim, you're fasting and you're hungry on the holiday of Purim. So why would they put the fast day today? So the Sefer Orchos Chaim, quoted by the Birkei Yosef, he says as follows, says again, because there's a fundamental difference between the fast day today and other types of fast days. That which we don't want someone fasting before Yontif and Shabbos is when the fast day is one of tzar, one of pain, that the whole idea of not eating is to make us feel in pain. So then you're going to go into Shabbos and Yontif in pain. We don't want that. But that's not the point over here. Here, the point of the fast day, and he writes, about Tainis Zehu L'Zecher Tainis Esther, to remind us of the fast of Esther, that she fasted back then. V'sheyizkor kol Adam, and every person should remember, She'habor Yisparach, that God ro'eh v'shofeh kol ish be'ei saraso. That just like back then, they fasted and they cried out to Hashem to save them, and Hashem listened to their tefillah. That is the idea and the message that we're supposed to integrate within ourselves today. That when we have difficulties, when we have hardships in our life, but through tefillah, through davening, Hashem is going to go ahead and save us. In fact, the Rambam writes in the introduction to the Yad HaZakah, he writes as follows. He says, "Vitzavu l'kos ha-Megillah ba'onasa," we're obligated to read the Megillah's Esther. at its time, Kedei Lahazkir, what's supposed to remind us, not to remind us of the story. Once upon a time, it was a story, and it's like a review book of the history books of what happened. It's much more than that. Kedei Lahazkir Shvacha Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's supposed to allow us to praise God, Uchuo Sha'asa Lanu, and the salvation that He performed for us. Vayakarov L'Shavaseinu, and He was close, and He listened to us calling out to Him. That everyone should know in the future that when the Jewish people are karov, when we come close to Him, when we call out to Hashem, when we pray to Him, Hashem listens. That is the message, says the Rambam, that we're supposed to take away from reading the Megillas Esther. The Brisker Rav said that is the explanation of the song that we sing after we read the Megillah, Shoshanas Yaakov. We say, Chuasam Hayisa Lanetzach, Hashem, You have been there for our eternal salvation. V'tikvasam b'chol dor v'dor, and the hope of the Jewish people throughout the generations. Lehodia, to make known, Shekol kovecha lo yivoshu, that all who hope in You will not be shamed. What does it do with anything? All who hope in You will not be shamed. What does it have to do with this? So the Brisker said, that's because the Rambam told us. That's the point of Megillas Esther. To remind us that if we believe in Hashem, and we dive into Hashem, we cry out to Hashem, we're having difficulties, we need help with this, we need help with our relationships, we need help with school, we need help with yeshiva, we need help with money, whatever it is. Any difficulties that we're having. You dive in? Hashem is going to answer our tefillos. That is the message of the Megillas Esther. And everyone likes skulas. So there's an early skula from the Sefer Kava Yashar, and he writes, "Hu misugal ma'od sheyikuvat tefillos b'schus Mordechai v'Esther." Yom Zeh, this day, Tainus Esther, there's a skula for anyone who calls out to Hashem, to daven to Hashem, that he will be answered. You don't have to do anything funny, just have to daven. About to daven mincha, maybe a little longer, a little more kavana. He says, first you should say Perek Tehillim Mizmor Chav Beis, which is about Esther, the story of Esther, and then you go ahead and you daven throughout the entire day. Anything that we want to daven for, today is a day of a skula, of a day to go ahead and daven for Hashem to answer our difficulties, take care of our difficulties. And the Farshim say that is why this day is next to Purim. Because that's actually the whole theme, and the whole salvation came about in Purim. The Gemara says, Maseches Megillah, and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Ish Yehudi, the Megillah says, Haya B'Shushan Abira. There was a Jewish man in Shushan, Ushmo Mordechai, his name was Mordechai. Ben Yair, the son of Yair, Ben Shimi, the grandson of Shimi, Ben Kish, the great-grandson of Kish, Ishimini is from the tribe of Binyamin. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand, what's going on over here? If the goal is to tell us his lineage, so why did it stop at his great-grandfather? Should have kept on going, link it all the way back to Binyamin. If not, just tell you who his father is, just tell us who his father is. Who cares who his grandfather is and his great-grandfather, all or nothing, what's the deal? So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. It's not really telling us who his father, grandfather, and great-grandfather are. It's telling us a message. What's the message? Tana Kulan al Shemo Nikru. They're all speaking about elements of Mordechai himself. Ben Yair, what does it mean that he was the son of Yair? Ben, he was a son, a person, Sheheir, a name, Sheyisoh, B'tfilaso, who inspired, he opened up the eyes, he enlightened the eyes of the Jewish people through his davening. Ben Shimi, what does it mean that he was the son of Shimi? Ben Sheshama El Tfilaso, he was someone who his tefillah was answered. God heard him. Ben Kish, what does it mean he's the son of Kish? Shehikish Al Shari Rachamim B'niftechulo. He knocked on the gates of mercy and Hashem opened up those gates. So all of those three names are not referring to his father, grandfather, great-grandfather. They're referring to the fact that Mordechai was a davener. Mordechai prayed, and that's what allowed the salvation of Purim. In fact, if you go through Megillas Esther and you read the Targum Unklus on the side, the Targum Unklus is normally what they call a taich, very, very specific definition of the words. But here in Megillas Esther, he adds in a little bit. I'll give you a couple examples of every time he mentions Mordechai's name in the Megillah, the Targum adds on something extra. For example, it says, before Mordechai was mentioned, on the seventh day when the king was full of wine, the Unkla says, Mordechai tzadika, Mordechai tzadik, tzali kadam Hashem. He davened in front of Hashem at that time, at the seventh day of the feast. Or in Parak Beis, when we're introduced to Mordechai, Ish Yehudi Ayav Yishusham Yishmo Mordechai, the Targum says, Gavar Hasida, who was a righteous man, Umore, is a teacher, Umatzli, and he davened. Every time, again in Parak Yeralef, in Pasuk Yeralef, sorry, in Pasuk Yitaz, every single time, the Targum, Unklus, adds on, Mordechai, the davener. Based on this Gemara, because we see that that was something that was super unique to Mordechai. In fact, the Malbim tells us that Haman knew that this was a secret to Mordechai. He knew that Haman needed a strategy, hasn't going to nail the Jewish people. And he knew that as long as Mordechai is davening and Mordechai is feeling the pain, he's not going to be successful. Haman will not be able to be successful. So he had to try to mix up Haman. So the Malbim explains, the Pasuk says, Vayomaru lo chachama v'zeresh ishto. Zeresh, Haman's wife, who is his accomplice, his partner in crime, he said when he saw that things weren't going so well, and Haman wasn't doing so well, he said, Imi zera yudim Mordechai sherechilos polofanav lo suchalof. This Mordechai is here, you're not going to get him. Kina folti polofanav, you're going to fall in front of him. Now, everyone that knows, and when I went to a marriage class, knows that if your spouse isn't doing well, you're not supposed to tell him you're going to lose, you're no chance. You're supposed to give chizuk. So what's he saying? What's she telling Haman all of a sudden? Like, forget it, you're finished. You're going to fall in front of him. So the Malbim explains that that's not what she was saying. She was actually giving him advice. She was telling him, nafolti polofanav, fall in front of him. Pretend that he's winning, and he's getting the kavod, and he's doing so well. So then Mordechai is going to start to see, oh, things aren't so bad anymore. I'm starting to get my position back. Haman is starting to fall down, and I don't have to daven anymore. So Zerah says, he's going to stop davening. Once he stops davening, boom, you're going to get him. And that's what some people explain was the reason that Haman went a little bit above and beyond. The Gemara tells us that when Mordechai couldn't get up onto the horse, so Haman bent down and let him walk on his back. Why did he do that? Ahasuerus didn't tell me to go that far. He just said, take him on the horse. Mordechai, get up there on your own. Why did he bend down and let Mordechai step on him? Because he wanted to let Mordechai think that you're winning. I'm out. Look at me. I'm on the floor. You're stepping on me. And then Mordechai will go ahead and stop to daven. He won't pay attention anymore to what the tzara really was, and Haman would be able to be successful. So Haman knew that the secret of Mordechai's success was his tefillah. He was davening at all times, like the Unklus points out. So we see from here an aspect of Purim that's not spoken about too much, and that is our tefillah. The importance of the tefillah that happened back then, that was the source of the success, and so too now. Tainus Esther is a day of fasting, so we could daven. We could remember that they davened, and we should daven. And, of course, on Purim itself. Certain people take their davening on Purim very, very, very seriously. They wake up early, and they spend time before davening and after davening. If we're going to be running around and busy and stay up super-duper-duper late at night, and not being able to wake up in the morning to daven and hear the Megillah, etc., we're losing the core of what happened back then, the energy that happened back then that allowed for the Yeshua, for the salvation, is through our tefillah. So we have to try to make sure that today we spend any extra time that we have davening, thinking about anything that our needs, other people's needs, what other people are going through, daven for them, of course, and daven for ourselves, and make sure that we stage and plan our Purim day and Purim night in a way that we can maximize our tefillos on Purim and not have to rush or do it late or makeups or anything like that, so we can't go ahead and get the salvation that happened back then for us today. Be'ez Hashem, we should all plan, think, focus, and daven for all of Klal Yisrael. We should only hear Shuas v'Nechamas.